Okay, so this riff. Message in a Bottle by the Police, the riff that shaped the sound of the 80s. But there's so much more to it than I thought, because why does everyone, including me, start playing that riff on the C sharp fret 4 on the A string? Because when I listen real closely, I hear something totally different.
Wait a second, are you saying all guitar taps, all guitar lessons out there got it wrong?
Well, wrong, it's just half of the information really, because here's the first three notes of the riff. And with some trickery, I can zoom in and loop that very first note. Dun, dun, dun. That's the note I'm hearing. Dun. But that's fret 7 on the A string and not fret 4. What's happening?
So clearly there is something more to this riff than what everyone is telling us. What's actually happening is a great studio trick used by many artists many times before, and sometimes it's used very subtly to just spice up the sound and fatten up the sound, and sometimes it really shapes the sound of a riff as we know it. And for this riff, it just doesn't sound the same without it.
So in the basis of how we usually learn this riff is just four simple power chords, a C sharp, an A, a B, and an F sharp. But he spices up those five chords, which is another name for a power chord, with a 9 on top. And you can very easily find that 9th by just playing the octave and then going 2 semitones higher. So we get. So now it's sus2 chords, neutral chords, not major, not minor. And if you play it with that iconic rhythm we all love, and that breaks the finger of many beginner guitarists, it sounds like this.
So in the beginning of this video you showed us the riff starts on an E note, right? So where does that come from?
Yes, because what Annie Summers did on the record is overdubbing that riff, but then starting on another note. So he's adding a harmony on top of that iconic riff we all know and love. And in the beginning, to my ears at least, that harmony is almost louder than the main riff everyone plays. And that's why I think this riff just doesn't sound the same without it. So let's try finding those other harmony notes. I broke down all the notes in separate little chunk so we can find it easily. So the first one we already established was at E. And then he goes to. It's clearly 7, 9, and 11 on the A, D, and G strings. Okay, for the next chord, the harmony plays. Starts on a C sharp, fret 4. 6 and 8 on the A, D, and G. So he's using the same shapes, but he just starts at a different point. So. And then for the third chord, something spicy happens. Oh, he's starting on that D sharp. Dun, 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 dun. And then to. Dun, 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 dun. He plays that A. And then. Okay, so this one is a little bit odd, but you hear that, which is fret 9 on the G string. So the third one is like this, with the tritone over here, 6, 7, and 9. Ho-ho. And then the last one goes to. So this starts at fret 4 on the A string. Ding, 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 ding. Do you hear it? And then goes to 6 on D. Dun, 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 and then ends on 8 and 9. Which is a very cool riff. And it doesn't sound like the main riff, to be honest. But if you play it together, man, that sounds cool. So. This is the main note over here. If you pair it with the harmony, it sounds like this. Woo! That's the first chord of this riff. So now what happened is that the entire sound shifts from that neutral, open-sounding sus2 chord to a very dark-sounding minor chord with a lot of extensions. And you just don't have that if you don't play the harmony. Let's continue. The second riff, it's that A chord if you pair it with the harmony. third one goes like this.
Wow.
That's cool. And the last one. And that sounds so mega thick and fat. And if you play it in chords, basically you can say it's C sharp minor 11 to A major 9 sharp 11, B 11th, sort of F sharp minor with an added 9 and even an added 13 in there. But I don't think that these should be looked at as chord three, but more as two voiced arpeggios, because he doesn't hold the strings when he plays these riffs. He's just... So if you play it slowly... That is very cool. A little faster. And up to tempo. Woo! So now I'd love to hear from you. Did you ever notice that harmony being so present in the riff? I'd love to hear your thoughts about it. Please let them know in the comment section. And of course, a gentle thumbs up would work as well. If you really want to listen closely, it's coming more out of the right speaker than of the left, and especially in the intro, you can hear it very clearly. It's also that lovely chorus sound Annie Summers used, just two parts melting together beautifully, creating that big, lovely, chunky sound. And now you do know, you can never ever unhear it, and that's the great thing. It's all the little details, and that's where the beauty lies, and you can learn from it. So thank you so much for watching. Have a great day. Cheers.